Hello, this is Senator Chris Dodd. I wanted to take a moment here in this podcast to discuss with you the recent controversy surrounding the proposed acquisition of the P&O Steamship Navigation Company's U.S. port operations by Dubai Ports World, a company that's based, as you may know by now, in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. This is an important issue and one that really deserves more than just an attack on this particular proposed sale, but rather a deeper, more serious look at what is going on in our harbors and ports around this country, what can be done to make them stronger, what does existing law say about acquisitions like this. So bear with me for a few minutes here. I want to discuss this with you and lay out some of my concerns. First of all, I'm sure you know some of the background, but let me lay out anyway here. Up to 22 ports would have come under the control of DP World if this deal had allowed to go forward. Just so you know what ports they were, they included New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, Miami, New Orleans, Mississippi, and Texas. In fact, two ports in Texas that are used by the military and through which approximately 40% of the equipment shipped to troops in Iraq flows out of. So it really would have been profound when you think of the implications here. How this all works. Back about 25 or 30 years ago, the Congress set up a committee inside the Treasury Department. The committee has a terrible name when you pronounce it. It's called CFIUS. It stands for the Committee for Foreign Investment in the United States. This very committee has two hats. One hat says they should promote imports. The other hat says they should disallow acquisitions where national security implications are involved. It's inherently conflictive that this one committee would be asked to perform contrary functions, in a sense, to promote imports on the one hand and then to discourage ones that may impose some serious concerns about national security. Now, neither the Secretary Treasurer of the Treasury nor anyone else claims they really knew much about this matter, which is frightening in of itself because it's about a $7 billion deal. And instead of going through some serious investigation, which the law allows, for an additional 45 days after the 30-day consideration, this committee of 12 decided just to plow along and decided they would approve this sale. Now, there are a lot of issues that have been raised about Dubai and the United Arab Emirates. It's true that they have been an ally in recent times. It's also just as true that illegal nuclear weapons or nuclear materials were being shipped through Dubai to North Korea and Iran. It's also true that this is the one out of three countries that recognize the Taliban. It's also true that this country was the home for two of the attackers who hit the country on 9/11. Now, I'm not suggesting those three things should mean that we should never have a relationship with Dubai or the United Arab Emirates. But it's important to consider when you're about to allow this country, not just a company, but the country, to operate 22 ports in the United States, critical ports to the national security needs of our nation. So how did this all happen and what could be done to make it better? Well, in March, the New York Times was quoted as saying, the president says, and I quote him here, if there was any doubt in my mind or people in my administration's mind that our ports would be less secure or American people in danger, this deal wouldn't go forward. I frankly have no idea how the president could have reached this conclusion. It's precisely the kind of superficial approach to the details of national security that has the Americans so worried about. Last week it was announced that Dubai Ports World would turn over control of all North American ports to a United States entity. Now, if that's the case, then this particular case may go away. But certainly we ought to know what the fine print says before we jump to that conclusion. What is true is this. The administration was clearly asleep at the switch and never fully and adequately examined the security implications of this deal. The fact that they were so badly bungled the oversight should hammer home the need to refocus our energy and attention on better protecting our nation's ports and the containers that come in, the literally millions of containers that come into ports all across the United States. The Congress needs to be involved as well. The administration should have clearly asked the Congress to be brought into this decision before it was made. Let me, if I can, lay out some of the things that we're trying to do to improve this. Because obviously, while this deal is not going to go forward, we hope it doesn't anyway, we need to make sure that future deals like this are going to be examined far more thoroughly than certainly was the case in the Dubai ports deal. I've introduced some legislation that I can get to you if you want to read it in detail. I'll make sure you can get a copy of it, but let me tell you what it does. It really reforms this Committee for Foreign Investment in the United States by doing several things. First, it gives the intelligence community a formal and expanded role. Today, no member of the intelligence committee or committees is even on this CFIUS panel. No one from the CIA, no one from the National Intelligence Director's Office. We changed that with our legislation by insisting that these people be also a part of that panel. Secondly, the legislation makes the entire process more transparent and accountable, keeping Congress informed every step of the way. And thirdly, we require this committee to perform a full 45-day investigation, mandatory, whenever critical U.S. infrastructure might be acquired by a foreign government-controlled entity, no exceptions. Here, they didn't do that. They should have done it. Had they done that, I think a lot of these problems could have been addressed more thoroughly. Now, again, I don't want anyone to interpret what we're trying to accomplish here. Foreign investment is very important to the United States. I believe that to be absolutely the case. Our success in the 21st century will depend upon foreign investment here. But supporting free and fair trade and working to protect the national security are not mutually exclusive. And because we're not just working to protect the American worker, we're also trying to protect his or her family and generations to come from potential terrorist attacks. Simply put, national security should never be subordinated to commercial interests. That's what's happening today with this committee in the Treasury Department. This department is responsible, as I said earlier, for encouraging imports. To ask them to do that while simultaneously discouraging those who come in the country who pose some security risks, I think is inherently conflictive and should change. Some suggest this is an issue of race baiting or ill will or bias towards the Arab world. I wholly reject those views who suggest that our concern about the DP World acquisition and with other foreign government acquisitions is somehow rooted in an underlying anti-Arab sentiment. Rather, when it comes to international business, there are two main issues that I think we have to be concerned with. One is the protection of the U.S. economy, our industrial base, American workers, and the other is safeguarding our national security. I don't think this is unreasonable. It seems to me that anyone examining these kinds of acquisitions ought to at least ask those kinds of questions, which is what we're doing with our legislation. There's a silver lining in any of this. It's that it's forcing us to take a second look, a much deeper and more profound look at our port security issues. It's now almost 5 years since the attacks of 9/11, and yet still more than 95% of all cargo coming into our nation's ports is not examined to ensure that they pose no threat to the American public. That is stunning and unacceptable. According to U.S. to reports by the U.S. Government, U.S. Customs has only 80 inspectors to monitor the compliance of nearly 6,000 importers who are currently charged with maintaining the security of goods as they transit. The Coast Guard is even worse off. They have 20 inspectors dedicated to assessing worldwide compliance with relevant international shipping and port facility security codes. That's 100 people to cover the whole world. It's almost laughable if we're not so serious. Now, sadly, this is just more of the same, I'm afraid, out of this administration. They haven't adequately provided enough resources towards our security, and they continue to believe that outsourcing jobs in our national security is somehow good for the country. I've tried now over the last 3 or 4 years to get additional funding for port security, to take the recommendations of Warren Rudman and a distinguished group of people out of the former retired military people, national security people, who made some very significant recommendations for increasing the abilities of our first responders, including our ports. Every single time I've offered it, it's been rejected by the majority party here in the United States Senate. Anyway, if you'd like to read my port security legislation or if you'd like to learn more about the subject matter, please get in touch with us here and let us know what your thoughts are by visiting our website at dodd.senate.gov. Thanks for listening to this long report, but it's an important issue, and I thought you ought to know the full details.